Hey Danny, hey Tom, good to see you guys. Alex is doing well, Danny's doing okay, I guess, he says. A little bit of infection in his leg, so Robert's doing great. Robert is smiling and he's doing great, so let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for Danny and Tom and Alex. And Robert, Lord God, we thank you for your healing hand upon them, that you would continue to touch their body, to heal them, to strengthen them, and return them to us, Lord God, in full health, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good. So, it's wonderful to be here again this morning. We're going to continue with our Jesus, 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 part two. And what I want to talk about this morning is Jesus, the Word, living and alive. Well, Mark, isn't that the same thing? I'm so glad you asked. The answer is no, it's not the same thing. And as we progress, hopefully you will see it exactly the same way I see it. There we go. Because we're doing this series on Jesus, He is preeminent. He is mighty Jesus. He is our Lord and Savior. And last week we looked at Jesus. We looked at Jesus revealed. And as I pointed out, it wasn't a revelation of Jesus, but Jesus revealed. And we looked through the whole Old Testament right through to the New Testament in every book of the Bible, how Jesus is there. Because Jesus didn't arrive just on planet Earth. I know he came incarnate man in the Gospels, but Jesus has always been there. He was in the beginning. And so if you turn in your Bibles with me to the book of John, we're going to have a look at that today. And we're going to look through John. We love to talk about and preach and live out a good full Bible theology, not just a New Testament one, Old Testament and New Testament, living and active. And that's what Jesus is. He is living and He is alive. And He is the Word which is living and is alive inside of us. So you can find those special little pieces as I go and as we look at it. So just before we get there, last week we looked and I called this a little bit about cosmic Jesus, because He is everything out there. Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. There's a mystery there. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Man, there is just so, we could spend a month of Sundays just unpacking that piece of scripture because of the mighty name of Jesus and who Jesus is. I know some of you last week when I went through the Genesis to Revelation thing on who Jesus was and where He's revealed, some of you asked me for that whole thing, and I don't know where Ken is now. Oh, here he is. Yeah, Ken's going to put that together for you, and he's going to print some out, and we'll have copies available for you to have a look at that. And then when we did our series on Behold Your God, okay, let's try this side. Behold Your God. There we go. There we go. Some life over here. Blow it this way. There we go. We're not going to go through all of these. I'm just going to show you. But in the New Testament, see, here we go. Carolyn's moving over to the life side. The names of the titles of Jesus, and I'm just showing you these to remind you because you can read so quickly. And through Scripture in the New Testament, titles and names of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. Okay. Chris got it. As for the rest of you, it's not about? Oh, my word. Okay. We need a little bit of life. I'm going to talk about life here today. Hopefully this will help you. Okay, let's read John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let that sink in for a little bit. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we drop down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And what I love so much about the songs that were selected this morning, it was not all about us. It was not about me. It was not about you. It was about Jesus. And when we minister to Him, we sing praises and songs and hymns that are about Him. Yeah, we can sing the songs of how you make me feel good, Jesus, and I'm so glad that because of you, Jesus, and all that kind of stuff. But we want to sing stuff that edifies the name of Jesus, that lifts up the name of Jesus. Take the focus off of ourselves and put it on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So let's have a look at a couple of things about Jesus the Word living and alive. We see that Jesus, the incarnate one, forsook the kingdom of glory and came and succumbed Himself to human flesh to come and as a man and walk amongst us. Fully God, fully man. Divine Jesus, divine God, Holy Spirit. All came down to earth to be with us and to walk with us and talk with us and touch with us and be with us and teach us and help us. And we see that what we, as I said last week, He didn't come just so that our sins could be forgiven. Because that's only one side of the coin. He came for all the smart words that we looked at when we did the series on the power of the cross. He came for salvation. He came for forgiveness. He came for redemption. He came for expiation. He came for propitiation. And all that stuff that we understand and know. But the other side of the coin excites me even more is that He came to give us life. Life more abundantly. So that we can live that life of abundance. And not, well, I'm just going to wait at the rapture bus for Jesus to come back, and I'm just going to sit here and wait for Him to come. Can I just be honest? That is such, oh, it's a good thing. Let me touch the Bible. That is such selfish thinking. That is selfish. Well, I'm saved, so I don't know about the rest of you. I'm just going to wait at the rapture bus now with my handbag and just wait. Watch the wheel go by. Oh, shame. Oh, shame. Me, me, it's all about me. Okay. Either I'm hitting a sweet spot this morning or else it's going. So, number one, He has a special title. His name is the Word. Revelation 19:13. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which He is called is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word of God. And like I spoke last week, just give me some poetic license to this. Don't get all hung up and get all literal on me. Last week we spoke about cosmic Jesus. This is like apocalyptic Jesus. He is the coming King. He is the warrior. You know, and it's not like if you go and read it, it's not just, well, we're going to wait for Him to come and do that one day. No, the battles are raging now. Go and read the book of Ephesians and see we war not against flesh and blood, against cosmic powers and darknesses and SCOTUS, the things that we can't even see in the Greek. And that's why we war against it. That's why we need to know and have the Word of God. Not just written on our hearts, but in our mouths so that we can, and I'm losing my place completely on my notes, but that's okay. He has a special title. He was, it says, was the Word. It's an imperative, permanent, state of Jesus. Remember last week I talked, some of us still see Jesus, our sweet baby Jesus, in swaddling clothes, wrapped in a manger and lying there. No, he grew up, he became a man, he became our Savior, hung on the cross, died 3 days, rose again, victorious, battle raging. Remember we spoke about a little time when we said, well, how come the enemy is so strong and powerful? No, he's not. He only has what you give him. If you don't give it to him, he can't have it. You remember I spoke about two football teams or hockey teams, and you come off and you win. You say, yeah, we won. And the team that came off the ice with you, they're going, oh, they cheated. Oh, they did it. And that's what the enemy's like. He comes and he whispers all this nonsense in your head. And the problem is, too many times we listen. Instead of going, whoa, Safari, stop. I'm on the winning team. I came off the ice first. See, we got the trophy. We got the cup. My old saying, go to the end of the book. You see, we win. Stay focused. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my, where's Olive today? Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. I don't know why Jesus is doing this, but he's making me remember all these songs that I sung when I was in Sunday school. I got one at the end for you too. Anyway, was God. Was with God, the pre-existent Son of God. This is who Jesus is. Was God, creator of the universe, the executor of the will of the Father. This is my boy. It's time for you to go and go down and execute my will for the kingdom of heaven. For those people down there. It's time for the new covenant to come into place. It's time for them to see. And you know, I've always said to you, when you read the Word of God, pay attention to the words you're reading. Even the words like and ah, and in, and the. I'm going to show you something today. Well, maybe you've seen it already, but it was happy for me to find it. The Word became flesh. The incarnate God came and dwelt with us. That word in the Greek is skenu. I hope I pronounce it properly. But what it says, it came to pitch his tent with us and to dwell with us, just like his father did. The father did in Exodus chapter 25. He says, build for me a sanctuary that I may dwell with you. Jesus comes and he says, I'm here to dwell with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And then new covenant comes into place. And we are the holy temple of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that to see that God had a plan all along? It's not like, oh, we got stumped. Israelites behaved, we didn't know what to do. Well, there's just so much sin, I don't know what to do. Well, we know what he did the first time round. The second time round, he said, Lord, if I can only find 30 men that are righteous, will you spare the city? Okay, well, how about 20? How about 10? How about 5? Abraham negotiating with God, the father of our faith. Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through him also he created the world. Isn't that amazing? You've heard me say before, we cannot take Old Testament prophets and make them look like New Testament prophets. Jesus came as the great apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And when he left gifts to the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We cannot say the Old Testament prophets are the same as New Testament prophets because they are not. Here we, the priesthood of all believers, have access directly to the Father. Anyway, sidebar. Move on. The Word of God is eternal. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, seeing this is Old Testament, this would have been in Hebrew. So forever in Hebrew, forever in Greek, forever in English, forever in Dutch and German and Italian and any language you translate it means forever. O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. It's ESV. NIV says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal." Jesus, you are eternal. And here's one of those games your mind is going to play with you today when we flip back and forth between the Logos word, the written word, and Jesus, the word. Because we know that God is a mystery. Not everything is what we know about. Because then we could do, and I had it in my notes somewhere here today, that we could put God in a little box. That I'm going to use Kevin's prophetic word over us this morning, that it's not so much the box, it's the chains that we've put around Him, so we can create Mr. Comfortable God. Comfortable Jesus, because then it's, I feel this is my comfort zone, I can deal with this. The word of God is eternal. He does not change. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever, translated in your own language, means forever, eternal, infinity. We have His word, we have His promises, we see His life, we have everything, but this is where I said we want to put Him in a box, we want to change Him. Some of the little boxes we want to put Him into. And I just remembered that song, little boxes on the hillside, made a ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. Do you know, anyone knows that song? Marvina Reynolds wrote the song. Hey, I know, it's a very long time ago. It's not a Christian song. But the point is that she was a political activist, and what she was singing about was that we're all, and you'll get to my generation, as Pink Floyd, Brick in the Wall. You know, there we go. Get the guys in the front. Go. You know, we're all made the same. We all just march. Come on now. You can agree with me, even if you go, it's okay. One of the boxes we put is we want to deny the authority of the Word of God. We say, please do not describe the Word of God. Do not describe the Bible, because this is our postmodern society we live in, as the authority or the infallible or the inerrant Word of God, the Word of God without error. Biblical doctrine is viewed as divisive. Oh no, it causes problems. When you get to the thing, if you do not love the paraphrase, the gospel and Jesus more than you love your mother and your father, you can have no part of me. What is he saying? It's because of the gospels. When we find that pearl of great price, that the guy got clever, if you go and read the parable, and he goes and doesn't tell everyone, goes and sells all he has. Why? Because he wants to be able to buy the field where the pearl of great price is. And when we will see Jesus as that pearl of great price, we will sacrifice everything. We take out certain scriptures and we try to make them fit into my little chaining process or my little box. And I just called it for today, I want to develop myology instead of his theology. Because when I develop myology, then I feel good about it. Because then I can explain it away and I can say, well, it's all about me. Do you know I used to believe stuff like that? I used to believe that we were just on earth here. And God was in heaven, almost like a puppeteer, pulling strings and showing, doing things, and making things happen here on earth. And I had no control of it, so therefore, what's the point of bothering about it? But please don't talk to me about Jesus. Because I could get God, but I knew that Jesus had died for my sins on the cross. And I knew that, so I didn't want to talk about Jesus. I just wanted to do the God thing. Because, you know, God's out there and he's far away and he really can't hear me. And that's my philosophy that I developed. That we just go through life and one day it's all going to come together nicely for us. It's good myology. Made me feel good. Because then I didn't have to really worry about death and salvation and heaven and hell issues. Because God's such a kind old guy. He's been around for a long time. And he's not going to send me to hell. So we develop feel-good preaching. Oh, it's the power within you, brother. You just think it and it'll be done for you. And you have the power within you. And there's a power within us that we don't know that we have. It's not to be misused or abused. It's so that we are, because we have been made the righteousness of God. Not by our choice. By Him who died for us, and He imputed that righteousness to us. It's a free gift. Well, no, if I work hard, you know the old law thing. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. Do you know that under God's grace, if you do bad, you're still going to get good? Now I'm messing with your heads. Because we want a relative truth and not an absolute truth. René Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. And that personified the beginning of the era and introduced the era where God was no longer the center and man became the center. That's great philosophy. No, it's not. It's anti-biblical. It's bad. Then we get down to we question the divinity. Well, Jesus is a way and He is a truth and He is a light, sort of. No. He is the way, the truth, and the light. It's very clear. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As I said last week, if we think that he was just a good moral teacher, then we put him on the same level as a man who thinks he's a poached egg. Or except the devil of hell himself. C.S. Lewis. Well, we can have a plurality of gods, and that's okay. If you want to go and join certain orders, you can go and join that order as long as you don't talk about Jesus, and you can say you believe in God, because they're not going to ask you which God you believe in. And then you get the right hand of fellowship, and they give you the shake, and then you've got to do the whole bunch of stuff. It's a cult. Just thought I'd let you know that. There are many paths to Jesus. Each one of us had a different path to Jesus. It's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus. Jesus, the Word, living and alive. The living Word is what we just spoke about. The alive Word in us, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. This is a pretty sharp sword. Joint and marrow, and that's where we stop reading. Because we need to finish the sentence. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The point of that scripture is not so we can, the sword is sharp and it divides and we can cleanse and we can divide. And no, because it's exposing my heart. It's opening up to reveal my heart. See, it's always working in our hearts. I think someone spoke about an attitude of the heart this morning. When we have that, we need to have a look and see, how is my heart doing in this area? Because the sword of the Word of God, Jesus, is going to come and open it up a little bit and do a little bit of surgery and a little bit of scalpel work here and there and just open it up so we can have a look inside. And we can see when we're sitting and it's going, which is a heart beating fast, if you didn't get it. That there's something going on there. Because if we know who Jesus is, and we live and move and have our being in Jesus, when we get down to the heart issues, no matter what happens, it goes boom, 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 boom. Because I'm resting in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because the Word doesn't change, the Word is unchanging, it is eternal, it is unbending, it is a weapon that we can learn to use. There's no point in saying, I'm a Christian and I do this and I do that, and you say, and I think I told you this, I went into a church on vacation once, and the guy, heaven forbid I should do this, the guy stood up and he said, Vince, so what did you read in the Word today, or this morning? And he says, no, don't come tell the church what you did. And I sat in the background and went, oh, I'm on vacation. I'm just being honest. And then he called out some other 12-year-old and said, whatever name was, come tell us what you read in the Word this morning. And these kids came up and they just bang, 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 bang. And I was like, wow. Can you imagine if I tried that here? Don't be afeard. I'm not going to do it. I know you in the Word. I saw your Facebook. That's why I picked on you. Yeah, my job's not to embarrass people. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is not a warfare of our smarts and our intellect, and in actual fact, it's not how much we read the Bible or how much we pray or how much money we got in the bank account or what our social status is. This is a war, spiritual war in the heavenlies. And it says that we have this, the Word of God, to help us. We have a look in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus, full of the Spirit, was driven or led, some versions say, into the wilderness. And for those of you who've been listening in Life Group, another time here, 40 days, for 40 days, the time of testing, he was driven there. And then the devil came, or the enemy, Satan came along to him, and he challenged him three times. The temptation to put his material welfare before the will of God. And you know what Jesus said? Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. And then the enemy tried something else. He says, well, how about your position and your authority and the glory by worshipping me? And you know what Jesus did? He said, Deuteronomy 6:13. And then there was the temptation to prove his messiahship. Come up here in this high place. See all of this. And you know what Jesus said? Deuteronomy 6:16. The Word, the Word, the Word. He didn't go into Shunday, Bunday, Balabala, Bunday any other day but Monday. He just said, let me tell you the Word. This is what the Word of God says. This is what my Father says. And just left it at that. It wasn't, well, let me take you and give you three exegetical, homiletical, hermeneutical points on this thing. You said, the Word of the Lord says, bang. Word of the Lord says, bang. Word of the Lord says, bang. And you know what the end result was? If you're reading it in Luke, it says, and the devil went, and left him till another time. Because he has no answer. When we wield the living, alive Word of God, the enemy has no problem. It's gone. It's like, okay. But it's when we dwell and think, it's like Eve did. Not you, Eve. Other Eve. First Eve. Is it true? Did God really say? I wonder. Did he really say? No, you got to say, yes, I was there. He said this, this, and this to my husband Adam. Adam came and told me. And so I believe him. But Eve had second-hand revelation. That's why it's important that we get first-hand revelation. The Word is distinct from the Father, yet He Himself is divine. Baffling to our minds. It's a mystery. How can He be in two places at once? How can He be two persons at once? How can He be like this? Believe it, family. Believe it. It's a mystery. But it clarifies Trinitarian theology and thinking. Still one. The Word is the agent of creation. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's pretty clear for me. Father and Son busy in creation. The Father and Son sharing in divine nature and divine attributes, working together. And of course we also know, let me not forget, the Holy Spirit was there as well. Not like a third spare wheel. Hovered there over the earth. Was with them in creation. Egging the Father and Son on. Saying, let me play too. Let me help you. till now, guys, I just want to fashion and form this little dude. And he's a little bit lower than the angels, a little bit smaller. Morning, Adam. Come, let's go for a walk in the cool of the garden together. Let's communicate together. Let's have our relationship together. That pneuma, that breath of life, breathed into Adam. It's the same breath of life that he breathes into us today. And we come to know him as Lord and Savior. The Word is the source of life. If you've listened to Tyrone preach, he often says, follow the life. Don't follow anything else. Just follow the life. Where is the life of God? Where is God taking us? What is God saying? What is God doing? Let's follow that. We don't have agendas and say, okay, God, we think we should go over there. Do you want to come with? No, my son, that's foolish. I have a plan since the beginning of time, and this is where I'm going. You can come with me. Yes, Dad. Yes, Father, I want to come with you. I want to partner with you. What are you doing? I want to partner with that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Salvation, if we could look at it in a creation at a higher level. Because we had the perfectness, then we had the fall. Jesus came, took away the sin of the world once and for all time. And we became new creations in Christ. Remember I spoke a little while ago? It's not that, well, God forgives me and now he fixes me up. And he makes sort of like, just like, well, you need this thing here, just tweaked a little bit. Heart's to heart, let's just sort it out. No, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not a Mr. Fix-It-Up. You know, the outer body might look the same, but the inside's whole new. It's a new me. You wonder why, if you're truly saved, when you're traveling on the road, the dies, you don't get road rage anymore. Because new creation. Yeah, I know. Kev, we're obviously going to pray for you afterwards. Salvation brings God's energy and life into us. Let's not forget the Word is the source of light. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. Remember when we did Ephesians? We were dead in our sins. Made alive in Christ, seated in heavenly places, I kneel before the Father, I walk according to His calling, and we fight the good fight. Yeah. Acts 17, in Him we live and move and have our being. Paul standing before the Areopagus, and he's preaching to them. He says, I see that you honor the gods. You have one here that's unnamed. It's nothing. I see you, spiritual people. And then he talks about the life and the light and Jesus, whom we have our life and our being. And he is it. Second to last one. The Word of God is written in our hearts. It's amazing. Who spoke it? Bridget. I think she brought the Word this morning. And just so you know, Bridget doesn't know what I prepare to preach. And that's why I love it when we get here and we're in the pre-service prayer meeting, someone prays something. And I mean, after our pre-service prayer meeting this morning, felt like, well, we've done this thing today. We can all go and drink coffee and go home now. Just the powerful presence of God there. And then Kev brought that Word and I thought, oh, okay, that's my little boxes I'm talking about. And Bridget brought the Word and about hearts. And Romans 10:8, the Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. It's a firm foundation. Jesus is a firm foundation. He is the rock. It's not some unreachable mountain out there that, oh, it's too far for me to get there. I'll never get there. God is too far away. Jesus is just a figment of people's imagination, just a nice story that they tell. No, living and alive is the word of God. Jeremiah 31:33. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Pay attention, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Isn't that amazing? Is there anything God can't do? Erase from His memory are your sins. I will remember your sin no more. I just sinned 10 seconds ago. God, please forgive me. I will remember your sins no more. That's the difference between law and grace. When God came, and we see this word of Jeremiah was a prophetic word for now and for a future time to come, looking forward to the time when there would be salvation and a sacrifice once and for all. One lamb, one world. We did the whole one lamb, one family, one household, one lamb, one nation, one lamb, one universe, one lamb. And His name was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. You'll sing that with me one day. We see that filled out in Romans chapter 11, verse 27. It says, This will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. He had a plan. You would not have to go daily to the temple. You wouldn't have to go and bring your dove or your lamb or your whatever, because, or your goat or your sheep or whatever the case was, because Jesus was going to be the sacrificial lamb once and for all. As I've said so many times, He's forgiven our sins past, present, and future. Because if it's not past, present, and future, then He has to die again for the sins of the world. Eternal. Eternal Jesus. Once and for all, eternal sacrifice. And we still live with this complex of this guilt of sin. Oh, I'm so bad. No, you're not. You are the righteousness of God. He paid it all. How much do you love me, Jesus? This much. And then He died. 3 days later, rose victorious. Conquered death. The final victory. Here, the living word. Alive in us. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Or we only want the exhort part, with complete patience in turn. Exhort me with complete patience. Do not reprove me and do not rebuke me, please. Hallelujah, brother. I see that hand. There are imperative words, verbs here. In other school, verbs were doing words, action words. Preach the word, Jesus in our mouth, in our hearts and in our lips. Preach the word. Be ready in and out of season. All season Jesus. Come on. Same yesterday, today, and forever. When is a good timing? Oh, you know, we live, and just hear what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Well, I can't speak into Ken's life because I haven't built a relationship with him. There's no bridge here yet, and nonsense. Faithful are the wounds of a brother, of a friend. Come on. If God shows me something about Ken, I'll say, well, I haven't built a bridge. I'm just going to let him carry on in his stupidity. And then something serious happens. Oh, yeah, I should have listened. I didn't have this bridge with him. Great philosophy. Not good Bible. Ken, I love you. But do you know that you are doing this thing? Wow, I wasn't even aware of that. Thank you for helping me. It's how we deliver it. Yeah. Hey, Ken, you're an idiot. Stop doing that. Whoa, who are you? Ken, I just want to tell you about it. I love you. If you just listen to me, this thing will come right. Okay, I can do that. We deliver it with patience and with teaching and with love of Jesus. I know sometimes you want to take this picture of the sword. And yeah, no. Let me leave it. Let me just move on. Probably in enough trouble as it is. Where are we? Living Word. The Word of God living in our hearts. Okay. Reprove, rebuke Jesus. Not convenient and inconvenient. Are we a covenant people or are we not a covenant people? We're not a convenient people and we're not a contract people. I don't sign contracts. I don't sign conveniences. I sign covenant. When you come and you say, I want to be part of this body, God has showed me to come here, God has showed me to jump in here, God has said this, then we covenant. Yeah, shape forms. Okay, now come and do 7 classes, and when you pass those 7 classes, then we might shake your hand and or whatever. Shall I tell you the faith of a wife when a husband is not saved, that she decided we're going to become members of a church? I won't look at anyone who's tell you any names. But the wife was saved, husband wasn't saved. Went to the pastor and said, I want us to become members of this church. He said, is your husband saved? He said, no, but he will be. He said, well, we don't normally take unsaved people into membership because, you know, it's like defeats the object of the exercise. And so she said, no, but he will get saved before the end of the course. And I think it was the second week into the course, the husband got saved and became a member of the church and became a leader in the church. And then they said, we're happy for you guys. Go to another country. And so they went to another country. I'm not telling you who it was. But she believed so much that her husband would come into the kingdom of God. And she prayed. And when he went up and gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, she manifested so badly, people were trying to cast demons out of her. That is true. That was hysterically funny. Yeah, because she doesn't cry quietly. Whoa! In the name of Jesus, come out! What? Okay, let's finish this thing. Where are we? The Word of God guides our steps. I'm going to go a little bit over time today. The living Word and the Word that's alive in us. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. See, this psalm, a psalm of praise. And when we know that Jesus is the Word, Jesus is the name above all names, Jesus is living and active, we don't have to. And it's good to know your Bible. Please don't hear me say not. But we don't have to actually, ooh, I've got an issue. What's the problem? Concordance. No. Jesus, you are my protector. Jesus, you are my Savior. Jesus, you are the author of my life. Jesus, I am a slave to you. Jesus, you are my master. Jesus, guide me. Jesus, lead me. Jesus, show me which steps to take next. Alive in us. Philippians 2:16. Holding fast to the Word of God, so then the day of Christ may be proud that I am not run in vain or labor in vain. That we have walked as wife. Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is. Chapter 4. Walk according to the calling of God that is on your life. We have Jesus as our guiding light. We have Jesus as our life. Jesus as the guides our feet and our paths. Jesus that shows us the way. I think there's a song like that or something. Should write one. Be willing vessels. Okay, let's close off. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. And as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him, verse 15, and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me. Look at the revelation John has. He was before me. Hold on. Jesus got born after me, but he ranks above me, and he came before, and he was before me. Infinitive. No time and space. For the law, verse 17. Remember I said you must pay attention to the words written in the Bible. Listen to this. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is the Father's side. He has made him known. The law was given. We go, oh, Lord, law was bad. No, Lord was our schoolmaster to lead us and show us of our sin and our need for salvation. It was a generous gift from God. But that was given to them to help them. But then grace and truth came. Well, who was the came? So, we could say this, that Alan is a student at university and has now become an architect because he studied there. So Alan and the architect are still the same thing. Mark, you see, was a businessman who has now become a pastor. See the difference? Change completely. The law was given to help them. Grace and truth came. Grace is not a feeling. I've said this many times. Grace is not an emotion. Grace is not a philosophy. Grace is not a thought. Grace is Jesus. Truth is not a philosophy or an idea or a thought. Truth is Jesus. Remember we stood before Pontius Pilate and said the truth? He said, what is truth? Jesus is truth. Grace and truth came and dwelt amongst us and gave us. And what do we see it says here? And it says, we have all received grace upon grace. And what does that mean to us? Grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing. Sons of God we have become. Righteousness of God we have come. Holy Spirit has invaded our lives. Angels watch over us. His death has power for us, and we die in Christ and we arise in Christ. We share His ascension. We are now seated in heavenly places. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. When He comes in glory, we shall come with Him. His heavenly home becomes our home. Thank you. We are together in Christ Jesus. Becoming more like Him every day. Glory, sang it. Glory, glory, let your glory come. We walk in His glory. And sometimes you might not see it. Sometimes you not feel it. But it's not in emotion. And you remember He created everything visible and invisible. We have the power, the God, the Holy Spirit living inside us. He pitched His tent in the desert. He came to dwell. And when He left and He ascended, He said, I will send you another. I love that so much because we always just quote, He said He will send us the Parakletos. It says, I will send you another, which means that He was the first one. I will send you another one. Comes and lives with us and leads us and guides us, Scripture says, into all truth. And that truth and that grace is Jesus. When we know and see Jesus, we know and see the Father. Remember the disciples said? Well, Jesus asked them, who do they say I am? And they gave Him a whole bunch of answers. Peter gives the right one. And later on, we see that He is glory. Jesus living in us, the hope of glory. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. His is the blood that ransomed me. His is the blood that makes me free. His risen life is given to me, for Jesus is alive. He's living. He is the Word. Get hold of the Word. Eat the Word. Let it marinate in your belly. We can go out and raise the sword of the Spirit, the living and active and live Word of God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we thank You today. Lord God, as we've preached, as we've ministered to one another, as we've worshipped You, as we've come before an audience of one, Lord, we give You glory. Name above all names. the rider on a white horse, going forth, Lord God. We lift up your name, Jesus. We declare you are Lord and Savior. You are our Master. We are not only indebted to you, we are your servants. Yet, you are our brother. We do not minimize that, Lord. We see you as Isaiah did, high and lifted up. Let your train, your robe, fill each of these temples here today, Lord. Blessed be your name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.